It's one thing to imagine a universe seeded with microscopic forms of life. But what about E.T.? Extraterrestrial spaceships? Visitors from other planets? It's not the stuff of science, of course, but maybe it could be. Journalist Leslie Kane is the author of UFOs, Generals, Pilots, and Government Officials Go on the Record. Now, most UFO sightings turn out to have perfectly natural explanations. But not all. Leslie Kane got interested when she stumbled on an official government report that she just couldn't ignore.
A colleague from France sent me an extraordinary report on the UFO subject that had been translated into English and was written by a group of generals, an admiral, the former head of the Space Study Center, the National Space Study Center in France, which was the equivalent to our NASA here, and a group of scientists, very high-level people, and they'd taken a look at some of the most important UFO cases, only dealing with official data. And in looking at the cases for which there was enough evidence that they could rule out any kind of conventional explanation, this group of very distinguished people came to the conclusion that the best, most logical, most rational, and most likely explanation for this group of cases was what they called the extraterrestrial hypothesis. And again, there aren't that many UFO sightings that we have enough data for to make that kind of an assumption, but they found that conclusion. And I, as a journalist, thought this was absolutely fascinating that high-level people are actually saying that there's a very good chance that we are being visited by extraterrestrial craft.
That really is astonishing when you think about it from America's perspective. That is not an attitude that is taken here at all.
Exactly. And the thing that ran through my mind was just what you said. I thought, what if four American generals and an American admiral and the former head of NASA had come out and made that statement? What would the reaction be in America? It would be a huge story, front page news. So here it was happening in France. And so that's why, as a journalist, I got very intrigued with that as a story initially. And I did a piece for the Boston Globe based on that French report. And ever since then, I've been digging into it and been absolutely fascinated by this very genuine mystery that we still have not solved.
As you've stuck with this story, you've done a fair amount of research and you've found some fascinating things. One of the eyewitness reports, an official investigation, I guess, was from a Belgian major general, Wilfried de Brouwer.
It began in the fall of 1989 in November with a couple of triangular objects that were kind of cruising over parts of Belgium, witnessed by hundreds of people, including 13 policemen from different locations. It was just sort of this massive sighting. And the interesting thing about that was that these objects kept returning to Belgium for about a year and a half. These very large, triangular, silent objects with three bright spotlights on each corner and a red light in the middle. That was sort of the standard way people describe them, that could take off at the blink of an eye without making a sound and could kind of drift almost like a boat on the water, kind of drift over very slowly. Major de Brouwer was actually a colonel at the time, and he was given the job by the Ministry of Defense in Belgium to investigate this, to try to figure out who these visitors were, because they were committing infractions of airspace rules. Nobody knew what these objects were, what they represented, why they were there. And so he was in charge of this, the whole Air Force investigation. He worked closely with a group of scientists who conducted lots of interviews and kept massive amounts of records of all the reports that they got. He sent up F-16s to try to get closer looks at the object, to learn more about them. And they never were able to solve the question of what these objects were.
Well, there must have been a lot of suggestions at the time. One can imagine that the suggestion would be that they were radar invisible aircraft from some other country, for instance, or that they were some other kind of natural phenomenon. Each of those must have been considered and rejected by General de Brouwer?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, I think the leading argument was that this was some kind of an advanced U.S. or possibly Russian, you know, spy plane, that it was some kind of a stealth aircraft that was being tested, exotic technology from another country. I just don't think anybody thought it was a natural phenomenon. It was just seen too many times. It was clearly this thing with these lights on it. But what General de Brouwer did was he went to high levels of his colleagues within the United States government, and he went to other governments within the NATO alliance and asked, is this one of yours?
Of course, would they tell him the truth?
Well, he believes that they would, and other people have told me that they would. I mean, he was a colonel, And you have this very strange thing happening. And the thing is that NATO countries don't go sending strange technology over their partners without telling them about it. I mean, it just doesn't happen. That's what I've been told. General DeBrower certainly believes that they would tell him the truth.
There are a number of other stories that you go into over the course of the book. Pilots, I gather, are more likely than anyone else to see UFOs and to report UFOs, which I imagine makes sense. They spend more time in the sky than anybody else.
They are probably one of the more likely people to see them. They are not the more likely people to report them, though, however, because the problem we have is that pilots are very nervous about reporting sightings, and in fact, they are discouraged from doing so by the FAA, which is really a problem. The FAA actually says in its manual for its employees that if a pilot, a crew member, sees anything anomalous, sees a UFO, they are not to report it to the FAA, but they are to take it to a civilian research group. And they say, even if this is a life-threatening situation, you can report it to the police, but you can't report it to the FAA, which is the body responsible for air safety in this country.
How do they explain that?
They really don't. It's a good question.
I suppose the easy answer that leaps to mind is that the FAA is afraid of ridicule.
Exactly. And the pilots are, too. The pilots are afraid of ridicule. I mean, that's why they don't report a lot of their sightings. And we know this because there is a former NASA scientist by the name of Dr. Richard Haynes, who has spent decades interviewing pilots. He's an aviation expert on these cases, and he has files of cases. And the pilots have talked to him, but they have not filed any kind of official reports on these sightings with the FAA for the reasons I just mentioned. Yeah. So there are a lot more pilots that see them than there are pilots who report them. And sometimes aviation people will report them to a civilian group just because they feel it's so important, especially when the situation involves safety issues. They just feel, well, this has got to be dealt with, so they have no choice. They go to a civilian group, and then the word gets out. It's a very strange situation, and this is not how it's handled in Europe.
Well, now that's an interesting thing, isn't it? Because it is more likely to be reported elsewhere. In fact, you've got a couple of reports from military pilots who met for the first time when you were present and related what sound like remarkably similar stories.
Those were both Air Force pilot situations as opposed to commercial pilots. They both involve cases in which the pilots felt a need to fire, to actually aim missiles and try to shoot down a UFO. One of them was from Peru and one was from Iran.
Just to kind of summarize them, they both involved sightings and both involved fear of being attacked, and they responded by wanting to defend themselves.
Yeah, that was more the case for the Iranian event, which took place in 1976. The pilot in that case, there were four pilots involved that were sent up by the general on the ground to just observe what this brilliant light was that was sitting up there over Tehran, being witnessed by lots of people on the ground. And this pilot in this one aircraft, there was this very, very brilliant triangular-shaped object. And from that object, these smaller, what he called projectiles, these round things came, were sort of shot out towards his aircraft. He felt compelled to defend himself, prepared his firing system to fire heat-seeking missiles at these things. So he had it locked on so that the missile knew where to go, was just about to press the trigger to fire this thing, and he lost control of his equipment. And this happened three different times. He was just about to press the button and fire, and he would lose control of the equipment. That's something he could not explain, but that's what happened. And this case was written up in detail by the United States government, by the way, in a three-page Defense Intelligence Agency document, which is absolutely fascinating.
So I have to ask you then, do you believe that UFOs are evidence of extraterrestrial visitation?
Well, I certainly am open to that possibility. You know, I align myself with many high-level people who have themselves stated that they can't imagine what else these things could be. Mm-hmm. So we have something we call the extraterrestrial hypothesis. And yes, I definitely do believe that that needs to be seriously considered. I think it's a very likely possibility, even though I know it's very difficult to accept it, given the questions that physicists will raise about, you know, travel through space and all the issues that come along with considering this. And why haven't we already discovered it, if it's real, if they're really visitors? You know, there's lots of questions that come up, which are legitimate questions. Nonetheless, we're sort of stuck with the data that we have. There's nothing we can do about what we know. And it's very hard to come up with other explanations, but there's other explanations such as things like visitors from other dimensions or something. Yeah. You know, if you look at some of the cutting-edge physics, the work of Brian Greene or Michio Kaku, you know, these could be some kind of visitors from the future, from other dimensions, or from other planets. We just really don't know, but I think we have to stay very open to the possibility that they could be extraterrestrial, and that word, I guess, could have a lot of different meanings. I don't understand why everybody wouldn't want to know what these things are. Right. I think it's just the most fascinating mystery that we're faced with right now, one of the most fascinating anyway.
Leslie Kane is the author of UFOs, Generals, Pilots, and Government Officials Go on the Record.